My last speech is going to be called Let It Go. Let It Go. And at the end, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get a rubber band to put on your wrist like I'm wearing on my wrist. I've had one almost all year on my wrist because I've been teaching this all year. And what I always want to, whenever I speak to somebody, I want to say, now, if you have this problem, then go do this. You know, I'm a very solution-oriented person. How many of you feel like you're that way, too? Solutions? I like solutions. I don't like to sit around and talk about problems unless we're sitting around talking about them so we can find a way to fix it. Now, there are many of life situations that you can't fix, right? Sick person. You know, you have somebody in your life that's sick with some kind of disease and you can't fix that. You just got to ride through the storm with God, you know, hanging tight to Him. But as I told you before, I grew up in this home where my mom and I was kind of like, you know, I was a very strong individual, you know, kind of like my own boss, you know, and I'd tell people what to do and didn't think a thing about it. I just thought everybody wanted to know what my opinion was, you know. I don't know if you all relate to this, but I'm sort of like the kind of person, have opinion, will travel, you know. And listen, my lip quivers sometimes. I want to give my opinion so bad. Please ask me. I want to tell you, you know. So we're going to talk about letting it go. And what I'd like us to learn how to do is to let go our way. Not stop feeling like we have to have our way in life. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for meeting with us, sweet Holy Spirit. Now, I do pray this last speech that you'll use it and that, God, you'll make some people make a decision today that would change their homes. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, you don't even have to turn to it if you don't want to. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. When I talk about letting go of your way, I'm going to give you a little saying that goes with it. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. How do you like that? Has anybody ever accused you of getting bent out of shape? Settle down. You don't have to get all bent out of shape, you know. It's okay, Mom. It's all right. You don't have to get so excited about this, you know. But the flexible, that means that you're willing to go whatever way the rubber band, whatever it's put on, it takes that shape. So it's a flexible thing. You know, I can put it around here. You know, if it's small, it'd hang right there. You know, I can put it around my wrists, and it stays right there. It's flexible. It lets me bend it and like this. Now, God wants us to be flexible. But unfortunately for us, and the older I get, let me tell you, you gray-headed ladies, I have gray hair now. It's covered. But I have gray hair now, and I don't want to be flexible. I want everybody to go my way, because I'm old. You know, I am old. I'm 50 years old now. Are you shocked? Look, y'all went, really? Yeah, I really am. Last October, I turned 50. Isn't that exciting? What I said, when I got close to being 50, Miss Mary, I said, oh, I'm so excited, because now I'm only 5 years away from senior citizens discounts. Listen, if I'm going to get old, I want to get something good out of it. And you know what? I can go through McDonald's drive-thrus and get the senior coffees. They're 55 cents as opposed to a dollar something. I love it. Well, I was going through a McDonald's. Anybody here work at McDonald's? You used to? Don't tell anybody I did this. Oh, you promise? Okay. I was at a McDonald's, and I was going through the drive-thru, and you know how talkative I am? And I said to the lady, I said, well, I want a small black coffee, but I wish I was senior citizen's age, because then I could get, you know, the senior citizen's cup of coffee. And she, you know what she told me? Everybody, just take note. She says, we don't card you. So, she said, really, it's just, you know, it's, you can ask for a senior citizen. I said, you don't think it'll be illegal? She said, I don't think so. I said, okay. So everywhere I go now, senior citizens coffee, 5 years early. I love it. And I say 50 cents, and I hope I'm not lying. Anybody thinks I am, don't come tell me. It'll hurt my feelings. Oh, but anyway, when we look at 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, we see here somebody that did not get bent out of shape. I believe this person had a reason to get bent out of shape, but she chose not to. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 2 and 4, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." I believe she was a little slave girl. That means that when Naaman's wife wanted her hair combed, the little maid would come, "Okay, come here, little princess, and comb my hair." And she had to come out and comb her hair. Look, whenever she wanted her to dust the furniture, she had to dust the furniture. And she had to do it exactly like Naaman's wife wanted her to do it. Then, if Naaman's wife needed her water drawn, she'd have to draw the water. If Naaman's wife wanted her, whatever she wanted her to do, she had to do it. And she had to do it with the, I don't mind doing things, but I don't always have the right attitude when I do it. You know, I'm more like the kind of person, all right, I'll do it. And then stomp off and let you know I don't really want to do it, but I'll do it this time for you. But she had to do it all like that. Then the verse 3 says, "And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now I'm just telling you something. That's remarkable to me. That a little girl that's being that was taken away from her home and brought into this strange land to be a slave would be nice to somebody else. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd want my own way. I'd be saying, yeah, get him. You know, I'm that kind of a person. I'm kind of vengeful, you know, in my real nature. I try not to be that way, but that's really what I was like. And so she said, would God, you'd go see the prophet because he'd heal him of the leprosy. Then the Bible says, "And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And we know the rest of the story. What happened was Naaman follows her instructions. He had to swallow his pride a little bit to do it, but he followed her instructions and he was healed of his leprosy. Now, something you probably don't realize that I studied out a little bit by using my commentaries is that because that little maid of Israel was flexible, because she didn't have to have her way, and I know she wanted to go back home. And I know she felt like kicking and screaming and saying, I'm not going to do anything else unless you let me go back home. I don't think we're adult people, so we probably don't do that. But sometimes with our actions, we are throwing our little fits. But so because of that little maid, you know what? They're in history. The Syrians never, ever attacked Israel again. Do you understand? Does that impact you to think because of the actions of a little girl, a whole nation could be spared a lot of death and hurting and sorrow? That's pretty astounding, isn't it? Now, let's think of this then. I'm going to give you some illustrations of ways that I want my way. But if I would give up my way, and that's what this little thing's for, it's to remind me to give up my way. You know, every once in a while, sometimes when I'm in one of my, you know, might be the time of the, you know what I mean by the time? I don't even have that time anymore, but it still comes through phases of waves of being mean and ornery. And I blame it on the time because it's not there anymore. But anyway, when I have a couple of those days where I'm ornery, you know, and I just get tired of everybody picking up after this person and doing that for, you know, and cooking three meals a day and, you know, all the cycle things, laundry, you know, everything. And I get ornery, I have to just, I get a red wrist sometimes because I click myself so much. But it's a reminder to me. I've made it a reminder for myself this year to say, Loretta, let it go. You don't have to have your way on this. And I wonder how many times I've done this year because I'm working on it. And I've changed something in maybe our family's history because of that. I love coffee. I think I've made that quite clear to you. And I was up in Michigan, and in Michigan they have a store called Meyer's. And in the Meyer's store, I had my husband take me to the store after church services because I had to run and get some coffee because I always have to have my coffee in the morning. So I went into the Meyer's store and I went back to the back, and when I went into the back of it, I found the coffee, and it was I like 8 o'clock coffee. Do you all have 8 o'clock coffee around here? It's mellow. It's not strong and heavy. It's mellow because I drink it black. I don't want it real strong. So I got my 8 o'clock coffee, but it's the kind that has beans, so you have to grind it in the store. Well, I walked up and down the aisles of the store, and I could not find the grinder. It was just the weirdest thing. So the only person I saw, because it was late at night, was the little greeter. You know, the little lady that stands there and says, "Welcome to Meyer's," you know. So I went up to her and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I found the coffee, but I didn't find the grinder." You know, and I looked all over the coffee thing. She says, oh, the grinder's not in with the coffee. Do you ever get opinions about what people should do and how they should do it? Honest, do you ever walk in a store? Like, I like Walmart. It's one of my favorite places to shop. But I hate it that they change things around every year. You know, I want to just take the manager aside and say, look, sir, if you want my business, keep it like it is. So it only takes me a few minutes to shop. You know, I just have these opinions, right? Well, so that little lady said, oh, it's not with the coffee. I said, oh, it's not. I said, where is it? And she says, well, it's over by the produce. It just started in my toes. You know, I was tired. Let's use our excuses. I was tired. It had been a long day. My husband was waiting for me. I just wanted to get this done fast. You know, all the excuses we have for throwing our little fits. And you know what? And I'm ashamed to admit that I did this. And I wish I could say it was 20 years ago, but it wasn't. It was just a few years ago. So I said to the lady, I said, ma'am, that's a very strange place to put a grinder. You know, coffee, it just seems like the grinder should be with the coffee. Since it wasn't, and I'm a little irritated about it, I'm going to give this back to you. And I walked out the door. Isn't that terrible? I was not flexible that night. And that's, I mean, I don't know if you all have ever thrown a fit like that in a store. You know, to tell people what you think. You know, have you ever been in line? I was in line at a truck stop. I go to truck stops all the time because we travel all the time. And I got in line, and I don't like the lines where there's one line and they go to two places. You know why I don't like it? Because I don't think that's organized. And if you own a store and I come to that store and they have two lines, let me just tell you, I don't like it. Because I go up there and I am standing there looking intensely because I want to be next. You know, I'm always timing everything. I'm getting in there, got to get this and do this and fast. So I'm standing right there and there's two registers and all of a sudden this trucker comes up beside me. And this guy opens up. When he opens up, this trucker zipped out over in front of me. Have you ever given daggers? Then I'm trying to catch the eye of the person that's running the register because why would they let that truck driver get in front of this helpless little old woman? You know what I mean? So I'm looking like... And I'd have said something, but he was bigger than me. So I didn't say anything. But isn't that silly? You know, why couldn't I just said, you know, if you needed that much, buddy, go ahead. But just don't drive around me. In that big rig, you know, if we're going and the lanes are going down to one lane, there's two of us, I straddle the middle. And if I see you coming around me, I go over to that side. If I see you coming around me all that, I go to that side. You're laughing. Do you relate to it or are you laughing because I think I'm so funny? I cannot stand anybody trying to cut in front of me. You know, just because you're in a little bit more of a hurry don't mean that you have the right to go around me, especially in my big rig. I'm 63 feet long. But anyway, then I was in when we stopped one day for January and February this year, we didn't have our rig because it was in a shop and we thought it was going to take $10,000 to fix it. So we just drove around in our Excursion. You know, we have a black Excursion that somebody gave us. Isn't that nice? It's so hard serving the Lord. Yeah, somebody gave us an Excursion. It's just awful to serve the Lord. But anyway, so we were traveling around in that Excursion, and I hadn't had coffee that morning, and that's really hard on me, you know. And if you've been around me when I haven't had my coffee, it's not pretty. It's not a pretty sight. So we finally stopped, and my husband wanted to wait till he had to stop to get gas, and he wanted me to wait and get coffee after we stopped to get gas, so I had to wait, you know, being the good, flexible woman that I am. But anyway, but I'm telling you about it, so I just lost all my reward. But anyway, so we stopped at this McDonald's, and I was sort of half in and out of what I was doing, so I walked in the McDonald's, and it seemed to me when I walked in that the whole area was clear. You know, there was nothing there. But there was one lady that was looking up and you could tell she was trying to decide what she wanted. Well, I'm a very decisive person. I know I want a senior citizen's black coffee. I knew exactly what I wanted when I walked in. So I walked up there and I said, I'd like to end it like this. And I heard a voice behind me say, well, I never. And I looked around and I said, were you ready to get something? And she said, yes, I was. And I said, I just started backing up. I mean, I backed up as far back as I could back up because I like to exaggerate. I want to make her feel like I'm really trying to comply and really I'm just trying to be sure how stupid she was being. Because she never. So I started backing up like this. You know, I said, ma'am, I didn't even see. I didn't know you were ready to check out. I'm so sorry, like that. And I just stopped right back there. And so she got her stuff. And I felt so proud of myself. But you know, that really wasn't good. What I really should have done is says, I'm so sorry, ma'am. Forgive me for getting in front of you. But you know what? I've got to let it go. When people treat me wrong, I want to treat them wrong back. Mrs. Evans used to use this saying, cheerfully and willingly giving up your way several times a day and never mentioning it. That don't even sound like fun, does it? How could you be cheerful and give up your way? They just don't seem to go together to me. But you know what? If I would learn this, and I have been working on it, and I have been letting people in front of me, I'm so proud of myself. This is the year to learn how to let it go. And I'm really trying. And I'm going to encourage you to give up your way. Does your husband do something that really irritates you? Look, you hear the rumble go through the crowd? I thought, wow, there's a lot. My husband likes to talk on the telephone in restaurants. And he's got this loud preacher's voice. You know, I just think, go outside. You know, I've talked to him nicely about it. I said, honey, when you talk on the phone and nobody else can do any talking, I said, would you mind going outside? And he's, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, and then the next time we go to a restaurant, yeah, hello, how you doing? Now, let me just tell you something. I'm saying this to you to let you know. When I tell you that, I hope you don't think I'm right in thinking he should leave the table. Because I'm not supposed to dictate to him what he's supposed to do. And if he wants to talk on the phone at the table, he is the one that's going to decide what nursing home I go into. I am 5 years older than him. I am dead serious about this. I am definitely going to be going in the nursing home before him. So I better just shut my mouth and let him do whatever it is that he wants to do, whether I like it or not, whether I think it's rude or not, whether what are we that we have opinions? What are we that we force our opinions on other people? You know what we are? We're a bunch of strong women. And if I would have been the little maid of Israel, Israel would have probably been destroyed by the Syrians because I would have never done what that little maid did. That's why I'm trying to change. I decided, after I read this, I said, you know what? I got to be different. You know, what in the world am I doing getting up in front of all these ladies talking about all this stuff and I still want my way so much? So I've decided I have got to decrease Loretta's way and increase other people's way. And I've got to be, go ahead. Yes, that's fine. You know, and you say, but that's rude for them to do that. You know what? The Bible says that when it's got a paradox that says, when I am weak, then am I strong. So when I am weak, and just step back and say, okay. Another thing that I've had to watch about my way is with my children. Now let me just say this to you. You that still have children at home, I have a 15-year-old boy. I'm glad he's out of the junior high age, you know. But 15 years old, what we start doing is we start expecting them to know certain things. You know, you're 15. How come you don't know that? Example, my son was so nice. He saw that I had just tied up the garbage. And he said, Mom, can I take that garbage out for you? The day before, he had had pizza. Somebody had brought him a pizza over in one of those big pizza boxes. Pizza boxes don't fit in a little tiny garbage can. So I had set it on top of the dash in our motorhome. And as he walked by picked up my garbage, which was so sweet of him to offer to take it out, wasn't it? And I thanked him and I praised him because I want him to do it more. So he, as he was carrying it out, I saw he walked out the door, and what did he leave on the dash? The pizza box. It started in my toes. Honest, you moms, you'll relate to this. It started in my childhood. What's the matter with your brain? You walk right by the garbage that's sitting right there. You offer to take mine out. And then, you know, I talk to myself. You're very wise to talk to yourself, too. Because if you have problems like I do, you got to let so much go so many times a day. It hurts. I'll just tell you that much. So when he got back in, I wanted to say, Joe, did it ever occur to you that the pizza box was part of the garbage? But you know what I decided? I'm going to choose my battles. I'm going to just rejoice a little bit that he even asked to take the garbage out. And I'll next time he goes out, I'll ask him to take that box. Oh, by the way, could you mind taking that pizza box? Not, hey, you know you left that pizza box this time. You could have taken that out with you, but why don't you just do it this time? You know what? We ruin our reputation. And that's why people call us nags. And that's why people call us have to have our way. You know, I don't know what it is, but the things that they say about us strong-willed women, it's probably true. So I'm asking you today. I'm saying, ladies, decide right now. Think about it. What do you need to let go? And are you willing to let go of it? Are you willing to say, God, I want to do your will more than my will? And are you willing to be teachable? Has God spoken to your heart today about something in one of the sessions? This has been, I keep bragging on this church, Miss Ennis, because it's a very good meeting. It has such a nice balance of fun and the gifts and then the teaching and the good food. It's just got a nice balance. It's a great meeting. I hope you come back next year, whoever's speaking here. I hope you come back. I hope you don't miss it because it could really help you and change your life. But whatever has been taught on today, do you have something God has spoken to your heart about? Are you willing to let go of whatever it is? You say, but it's the principle of the thing. You know what? Let's get rid of our principles. Let's decide our principles are probably not God's principles. If the principle's not based on the Bible, I don't know if we should stick to it. If it's just a preference of ours, let's let it go. How about it? Father, thank you so much for these ladies. Thank you for the thought. Thank you for the example of that little maid of Israel. I'm so challenged every time I read that story now to think that God, you would use a little girl to change the course of history for Israel. Lord, may all of us in this room realize that when we have to have our way, we are ruining ourselves, our reputation. We are hurting our relationships with other people. May your Holy Spirit just remind us the next time we want our way and have to have it. Now, your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Miss Wendy, I have some rubber bands there. I'd like you to throw groups of them all over the front of this auditorium. And if you're like Loretta and you say, you know what, Loretta, I am a little bit strong and I say things I shouldn't and I think things I shouldn't and I'm going to ask God to help me overcome it. I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to try to see what God's going to do to change my life. Could we have that song again, sir? The one that you sang, did at the last invitation. If you'd be like me and say that, then would you come forward and get one of these rubber bands? Then while you're down here, come on up onto the platform if you need to. Get one of them so you leave room for other people. And then pray about it. Pray and ask God to show you, what is it do I need to change? What do I need to let go of? What in my personality is not what is pleasing to God? What am I doing to my loved ones that's offending them? Yes, sir. Would you play that now? We're just going to have a time of invitation about the whole meeting. This is to think through every talk you've heard today. If the rubber bands are blocked, we'll let you get them later on. rubber bands to hand up to people that can't reach them for me. As you go back to your seat, I'm going to have another wave of invitation for you. So we'll just wait till everybody's finished praying. If you didn't get a rubber band and you want one, Rachel's got some in her hand. Raise your hand if you want one. Okay, we have some back in the back. Rachel, if you want to grab some of these teenagers, see if they'll help you. Keep your hand up, and these teenagers are going to help me. Aren't they nice? We grabbed them. Didn't give much choice, but hope they will. Miss Wendy and Miss Belinda, would you all mind holding the microphones? We're going to use these two. You know, Miss Wendy, Mrs. Ennis, and all these ladies, they didn't mind working hard if they know God changed their life. They wouldn't mind at all if they knew it was going to help your church be better, it was going to help your home be better, and it could help you be better. So, now's our chance, if you turn it down just a little bit. The second wave of the invitation is going to be this. What is it that you need to change? Are you willing to share it with somebody? We're going to have Miss Wendy and Mrs. Gaona stand up here on each of these corners, on each side. And I always ask the Holy Spirit, now Holy Spirit, how many ladies here want to say something or should say something? And so I'm going to give a number of how many ladies I'd like to line up on either side. And I'd like you to share what God has done in your heart today. Like you'd say, you know, I'm going to stop fussing at my husband about talking on the telephone. You know, or I'm going to have a better relationship with my daughter by stopping and taking the time to look at her. Or I'm going to look for somebody in my church that I can invest in. You know, don't say how bad you were. We all know how bad you are. I get up and tell you how bad I am. But don't make it a long thing, just like one sentence. God has spoken to my heart and I'm going to do such and such.